verse that I want to read in your hearing before considering what I have prepared for you this morning is the prophet Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 20. Isaiah 8:20, where Isaiah, under the infallible and inerrant inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, declares to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. May God illuminate the truth of this verse even in the next few moments. Now, as most of you, if not all of you, know, it is my usual practice to move through a book when I'm preaching. I have tried not knowing where I would be from Sunday to Sunday, but have found that very difficult to do. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was a master at it. If you look at any of the compilations of his sermons, he would bounce around all over the scriptures. I am not one who is able to do that. But there have been times in the past that most, if not all of you, are aware of where I will break from this usual practice. I will break from this usual practice to deal with a particular text or subject in light of some unique event or time of year to demonstrate the liberty that you and I have in Christ to either recognize or not recognize particular dates associated with Christ glorifying events. But a unique event took place on Tuesday of last week that is not a Christ glorifying event, but a clear display of rebellion against and denial of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What was this sobering event? The Supreme Court of this country came down with two heinous decisions with respect to the oxymoronic term gay marriage. Therefore, I believe it is both right for me and profitable for me to seek to address these horrendous decisions in light of the teaching of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, expanding on a letter I sent to the Newburyport Daily News, in which I addressed my concerns about these two decisions. Whether this short letter will be printed remains to be seen. Now, one of these two decisions was actually a decision not to make a decision about a lower court ruling. This resulted in the lower court ruling remaining in force. What was this lower court ruling? It was the overturning by tyrannical judges in the state of California, overturning a majority vote by the people of California not to allow the oxymoronic gay marriage in their state. Now, why do I use the term oxymoronic? Because the two terms, gay and marriage, do not belong together with respect to what the citizens of California said that they did not want to take place in their state, but were overruled by judges acting as dictators. For the words gay and marriage have had clearly defined and not distorted meanings until they were hijacked by the militant homosexual community, even as they have so brazenly done so with God's rainbow, which is His covenant sign to all mankind that He will not destroy the entire world with a universal flood like He did in the days of Noah. How the true meaning of the rainbow should cause any right-thinking person to marvel at the long suffering of the Lord in light of these two decisions by the Supreme Court. Now, the second decision, which was actually a decision, was to strike down what is known as DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, in which what a marriage really is was defined as that of a union between that of a man, male, and a woman, female. But this perverse court struck this act down, not because the government has no role to play in defining or determining what is a private, personal, and spiritual decision between a man and a woman, but so that what God clearly defines is not a marriage can be called one with the support of the government. Now, this heinous, arrogant, and dangerous decision, or decisions, I would almost be tempted to say, is unprecedented in the history of this country, except for another equally, if not more heinous, decision made by the Supreme Court in 1973, when it essentially declared open season on the American citizens whose residence is the womb through what is known as the Roe versus Wade decision. In 1973, the Supreme Court of this land assaulted the truth of when life begins, and 40 years later, it has assaulted the truth of what marriage is. The Supreme Court of this country must have a death wish for this country due to these decisions, for by them they have struck at the very foundation stones of any society, the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. But in light of this second heinous decision, what should those who confess the Lord Jesus Christ seek to be? Exactly what the one you confess to follow, believer, calls you to be in this world: salt and light. Be willing to stand fast for the truth of what a marriage biblically defined is, and be willing to stand fast for the truth of what incorrectly called gay marriage really is in the light of the clear teaching of the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And be willing to shine the light of these unmoving and unmovable truths upon what the Supreme Court has so foolishly and dangerously decided last Tuesday, which is something I sought to address in my brief letter to the editor mentioned above, but which I want to expand on more fully here, so that you, believer, realize that you're not resting. You're not resting on the ever-shifting sands of fallen human opinion with respect to these things, but on the immovable and unchangeable truth of the written Word of God, the Holy Bible. For one of the clear examples of how prevalent the shifting sands of human opinion are, and how dangerous it is for you to be caught up in this quicksand of error, is clearly seen in how former President Clinton had no problem in signing the Defense of Marriage Act into law when he was in office, but now supports the decisions of the Supreme Court, or the decision of the Supreme Court in striking it down. Now, am I saying that it's absolutely and always wrong to change your opinion of something? Absolutely not. For what is something all true believers are to do? We're to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Therefore, it is both right and a mark of true sanity to change your view of something, of anything, when it contradicts and conflicts with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, brethren, it is another matter entirely to go from supporting something that agrees with his infallible and inerrant teaching to something that directly opposes it and is at war with it, as seen in the changed view of former President Clinton. Dear brethren, this man needs the prayers of true believers. But what right do I? What right do I? Or for that matter, what right do you have to see not only these decisions of the Supreme Court, but also the changed opinion of a former president of this country for the heinous, foolish, and dangerous decisions that they are? Well, the reasons for such concern boldness is based on three foundational truths that any true believer can use and should use, not only when addressing this subject, but when addressing any subject. When seeking to address any subject that the Lord God has been pleased to say, dare I put it this way? When the Lord God has been dared to give His infallible and unchanging opinion on. Because the Supreme Court justices gave their opinions. Well, what does the infallible and inerrant living God give as His opinion as to their decisions? For as one old believer once said, where the Lord has no mouth, I have no ears. What he meant by this was if he was discussing something with someone on which the Lord had not made his infallible, inerrant, and unchanging opinion known, that it simply came down to a difference of opinion or personal preference in which neither person was right or wrong. Dear brethren, there is no right or wrong favorite flavor of ice cream. It is all personal preference. But when God has spoken on what marriage is, and He has, and on what the union of a man with a man or a woman with a woman is, and He has, and He has clearly and repeatedly done so, then it is not a matter of personal preference, or even of majority opinion, but of truth and error, of light and darkness. So what are these three foundational truths which undergird and support any true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ being grieved and opposed to these dangerous decisions of the Supreme Court concerning the oxymoronic term gay marriage? First, the living, true, and only God revealed in the Holy Bible, creation, conscience, and preeminently in the biblical Lord Jesus Christ cannot lie. Titus 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. God cannot lie because He is the God of truth. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 31 verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And so that first principle. Second, the Holy Bible, which is this one true God's only infallible and inerrant written word, cannot lie because it is His word. It is the word of the God who cannot lie. Psalm 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119, verse 160, thy word is truth from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God cannot lie. The Bible, which is his written word, cannot lie. Third, the Holy Bible, the written word of God, who cannot lie, clearly defines what a marriage is and what is perverse, sinful, and an abomination. The one true God in his holy word, the Bible, has not left us in the dark, dear brethren. He has not left us to figure out for ourselves what marriage is. Genesis 2, verses 21 to 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God hath taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And Moses, under the infallible inspiration of God, makes an application of this wonderful truth of creation. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, who used this creational truth to confound his foolish enemies when they try to trip him up on the subject of divorce? Now, by creational truth, I mean, dear brethren, you would have to remake creation. You would have to go back to the beginning of time and say, God, you've got to remake what you've made. In order to change what marriage is. But that's an impossibility. Because what did God do after he finished all the work and said it was very good? He rested. By creational truth, that I mean you would have to remake creation, which is an impossibility, in order to change what marriage is as defined by God. But as I asked, who used this creational truth to confound his foolish enemies? The Lord Jesus Christ did. When they asked him about divorce, he replies, now just read Mark 10, verses 5 to 9, and Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept, but, see, it's going right back, but, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the twain of the two shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So, the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has not left us in the dark as to what marriage is, has he? Very clear. Union of one man male and one woman female. But God, in his written, infallible, and inerrant word, the Holy Bible, has also not left us in the dark as to what the oxymoronic term gay marriage is. He has also clearly defined what the incorrect term gay marriage is. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. What this court said can now be seen as marriage. God, in his written word, the Holy Bible, declares is not only an abomination, but it is a sign, dear brethren, of his presence. Of his presence. Not just his future judgments upon a culture for rejecting Him, His truth, and His revelation. Paul brings this out clearly in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or appropriate. God has not left us in the dark in either His old covenant scriptures or His new covenant scriptures as to what marriage is and to what the oxymoronic term gay marriage is. One is blessed of God, the other is an abomination in the sight of God and is a sign of His present judgment on a culture. But this country no longer accepts or wants to hear what the Word of God, the Holy Bible, calls the oxymoronic term, gay marriage, because it does not want to face what its endorsement of it really means. That the United States of America is already under the judgment of God. And these Supreme Court injustices are not facing what happened to the two cities who engaged in this sin with abandonment. Jude 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. What's the example? Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Anyone who touts that the living Lord God has not been and is not being patient with the United States of America, patient with this country and every country that endorses what he has clearly called an abomination, is testifying to how truly blind people can be in their sin. For regardless of what these misguided men and women have decided, it does not change what the oxymoronic term gay marriage is a clear display of. It is a clear display of the sin that only the Lord Jesus Christ is capable of saving any of us from. For how does Paul so gloriously declare this truth? In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Dear brethren, if you don't think that the gospel of Christ is the only hope for the United States of America, you are still blind. Dear brethren, God, it is in His infallible written word, the Holy Bible is crystal clear as to what He declares as a marriage, and what He declares as one of the many manifestations of our fallenness and of our sinfulness that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from. Because the sin of calling sodomy a marriage is not an unforgivable sin, but endorsing it and practicing it is. Something believing in the biblical gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone has the power to deliver a person from. Whether it is his sinful thinking, his sinful acting, or both. Because the majority opinion of these Supreme Court justices clearly opposing the clarity of the Holy Bible on this subject clearly displays four things that I want to conclude with. With reference to these men and women. First, these men and women, these Supreme Court justices, have shown by these heinous decisions that they have no love for the truth of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. If these blind men and women spent more time meditating on the truth of the Bible instead of thinking that they have the ability or right to make decisions that directly show the vanity of their thinking and decisions, how different would their decisions have been last week? Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. The decisions of these men and women last week was a display of how vain and empty the thinking and decisions of so-called intelligent people can be. Because it is not a mark of intelligence to make decisions that conflict with what the supreme judge of all men, including the Supreme Court justices of this country. Is that a mark of sanity? To make a decision that it flies in the face of the thrice-holy God? These men and women, by these decisions, are showing that they're not displaying light, but darkness. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Their dark robes reflect the darkness that's on their hearts and their thinking and their decisions. By their decisions, they have clearly shown that they have no love for the Word of God that alone can set us free from the darkness. But second, these men and women, through these decisions, show that they have no love for this country. These men and women, these Supreme Court justices, through these decisions, have shown that they have no love for this country. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Gay marriage is not right conduct, it is sinful conduct. The very conduct that moved God so clearly against Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the reason that God gave to Abraham as to why it would be a lengthy time before his descendants entered the promised land? Genesis 15, verses 15 and 16. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. How close is the iniquity of America to being full, based on 40 years of the shedding of innocent blood and now the codifying of another sin in law? How close? These men and women show by these decisions that they have absolutely no love for the United States of America. Third, these men and women, by these decisions, have shown they have no love for their own souls. Leviticus 17, 1 and 2, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that their offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he'd be cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. The fact that this decision will most likely make it more difficult for true believers who are truly concerned for the lost souls of men and women in bondage to their sexual sins should cause these men to tremble. One man has even said that the president has said he will not hold the churches to these rulings. But in his opinion, that means the exact opposite, because he has not done what he said he would do on too many other things to mention. He said he closed Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay is still open.
He said he shut down the war in Afghanistan. The war in Afghanistan is still on. He said he won't apply this to the churches of Jesus Christ. Be ready for it to come. These men and women have no love for their own souls if persecution of the blood-bought body of Christ arises because of it, in addition to this sobering fact. Would you want these decisions unrepented of? I ask you a simple question. Would you want these decisions, the decisions they made last week, those two decisions, would you want these decisions unrepented of on your record when you stand before the supreme judge of all? Would you want to stand before the thrice holy God, who has clearly defined what marriage is, and clearly defined what the union of men with men and women with women is, and stand before Him unrepentant, say, you sat in the highest office of the land and said, what I call an abomination is now legally a marriage. Would you want to stand before? What does the Scripture say? It is a fearful. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. We should pray, not only pray for the president, we should be praying for these Supreme Court justices. We should be praying, Lord, spare them. I hope we don't hear that one of them has died. These men and women show by their decisions that they have no love for their own souls. To decide in favor of not only what I've already said, that He's clearly defined what marriage is, He's clearly defined what the union of men with men and women with women is, but the Lord has also, under the New Covenant Scriptures, given us a picture of what true marriage is to be, a picture of His relationship with His blood-bought bride. And they've assaulted that with a vengeance. These men and women have no love for their own souls. But fourthly and finally, these men and women, these Supreme Court justices, have no love for those who now foolishly believe that their sin is now protected by law. These men and women have no love for those who now foolishly believe that their sin is now protected by law. Isaiah 5 verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. When you give a person the idea that their sin is not sin, when you give a sinner the idea that their sin now has the protection of the law, you are not displaying love for that person, you are displaying hatred. The Supreme Court justices, dear brethren, on Tuesday displayed their hatred of the so-called gay community and the decisions they made. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It is impossible to be displaying love or concern towards another person when you are greasing the wide road to destruction that he or she is on, because he or she is now thinking that their sin is not only acceptable, but it is now protected by law. What do these unloving actions of these men and women show, or what should they show to any right-thinking believer? It should show you, believer, how much this country needs the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk to be lifted up by those who confess him. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. But if all of the above was not enough to sober any right-thinking Christian to the times in which we are living in this country, this sobriety is further increased by how diluted the role of the visible church has become in this country to being the salt and light I mentioned that the Lord has called us to be. And this is seen by how many pseudo-churches are praising these decisions. To quote an internet news source, the National Cathedral is pealing its church bells along with some other Washington churches to celebrate the Supreme Court's decisions on gay marriage. Cathedral spokesman Richard Weinberg said the bells rang at noon Wednesday for 45 minutes to an hour. Bells also rang at other Episcopal, Methodist, Presbyterian, and other Christian churches. Dear brethren, the darkness that is destroying this country was not only displayed by these spiritually blind, dead, and women on the Supreme Court last week, but that darkness has invaded and infected how many pseudo-churches in this country, as seen by what I just quoted. Ringing bells? Ringing bells for such a heinous decision and decisions, and not for a calling of a putting on a sackcloth and ashes and crying out to the Lord in wrath, remember mercy? Brethren, unless the Lord God in His amazing grace and mercy is pleased to send true heaven-sent revival in response to the cries of His blood-bought people, how difficult will it be and become to be a true sinner-loving Christian in the days ahead in this country? May God give you and I the desire to speak the truth in love to a country that refuses and is unable to see the darkness and depravity that is destroying it, as seen by what was sinfully decided by the blind, lost, and depraved Supreme Court justices of this country last Tuesday. O Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Let us pray.